Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Stand by, everyone. We have a new glitch with the music. Okay, well, try something different. Well, anyway, welcome to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. We're broadcasting live in 42 countries around the world. And we got a fantastic show for you tonight. And it's amazing. We got the phenomenal Marlon Gregory and ordained minister Marlon.
I knew God was with me. I always used to pray. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out and I'm going to testify and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God, every day is feeling just like Sunday.
Well, you're right, every day is like a Sunday. But anyway, we're having some little glitches with the music, but that won't stop the show because, you know, we forge forward, we forge on. And Mrs. Merlin Gregory, as I just repeated, was a mother of two, speaker, spiritual advisor, and author, the founder of TOTT and Black Pearls Rise. She is the CFO and director of education for the Elite Goals of Faith and the education director for WOW, Women of Wealth. Now, is that coming from your location, Merlin? Somebody who you talking to?
No, I'm here, baby, but I'm alone, so it's not coming from me.
I hear a baby too. Yeah, so I don't get it, but anyway. And I hear music in the background as well.
Yeah, I do too.
Me too. I don't know.
Okay, well, let the music play.
Every time it's like my first time away, and I can never find the words to say. You're the best. You were made for me. It's so easy to love you, baby. We're compatible, credible, and natural we are. And girl, I never felt this way before. From the bottom of my heart, baby girl, I just wanna tell you that you into your eyes, and I knew you were an angel, but you were in disguise. Tell me, how could I be so lucky?
And that was Charlie Wilson, You Are. And you know, my co-host brought something to my attention. It is today, Friday the 13th, so maybe that's why we had the glitches. But you know, we are warriors up there. We don't give up. We just stand and we fight through it, you know, because that's how God is. His word, they fight through it. And so, you know, for those who didn't hear, Merlin Gregory is an ordained minister, mother of two, speaker, spiritual advisor, and author. You know, she's also the director of education for the Elite Dolls of Faith and educational director for WOW, Woman of Wealth. She loves giving back to her community and empowering people to live their blessed life through transformation via ways of education. Hashtag Black Pearls Rise. And I'm getting ready to introduce my co-host first before I bring her on. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. How are you? I'm good.
Good. And I want everyone to know that we're broadcasting live in 42 countries around the world. If you got a question for our guest or want to make a comment, hit the one key, and then I will open up your mic. Otherwise, you will stay muted. And with that being said, I want to introduce you to this phenomenal woman, Merlin Gregory. How you doing, darling?
I am doing fantastic. I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for inviting me. It is such a pleasure to be here.
No, you're a pleasure for us, man. You do so many things. And, you know, people don't understand that on this show we have guests of all different walks in life because you're going to be something that's going to bless someone else that needs to hear your message, you know. And also, I got an idea. They might want to know about your book, too, I Am Adam's Rib. So, you know, I'm going to jump into you explaining what the founder of TOTT means and Black Pearl Rises real quick before we get into about your book writing skills.
Sure, absolutely. TOTT is Think on These Things. Back in 2010, right after I got my divorce, I would just, after doing my devotion, the Lord would speak something to me, and my family and I have a family thread. So I would just send that out to them, think on these things. And I would send that out to them nearly every day. And then the Lord put it on my heart to start putting it on Facebook. So I started doing a think on these things on Facebook. And then back in 2020, I believe it was, a friend of mine said, why don't you just go live instead of just posting a text? And I was like, no, I don't want to go live. That's not my thing. I'm more behind the scenes type of girl. But I joined this sisterhood called the Elite Dolls of Faith. And we have dollhouses in about 28 different states. And each dollhouse do community service work within their community. But our corporate office is here in Atlanta. And this particular year, the sisters from the other dollhouses were here, and we were just out working in the community. And I was filming it live on Facebook, and I could hear the Lord speak to me as clear as I'm talking to you and said, you can go live for the dolls, but you can't go live for me. And it was at that moment I knew I needed to do live. Yeah, so I've been doing live every Wednesday. Up until this year, I did it every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. This year, I started doing it a little earlier, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So I think in the 3 years that I've been doing it, I may have missed twice. So that's how I think on these things came about. And the Black Pearls Rise was something that the Lord has spoken to my heart. I've always had a passion and wanted to do a transitional housing. Because when in Atlanta, and I'm sure in other cities, you see a lot of homeless people. A lot of people are dislocated. And that's just something that really pulls at my heart. And I thought, and I also managed an extended stay hotel for a while. And I saw families living there, like whole families living in one room. And when I spoke to some of them, you know, there were issues like, you know, I don't have money for a down payment or for a security deposit, or my credit is this or my credit is that. And so I always, and it's still on me to do a transitional housing. And Black Pearls Rise was just the name that the Lord had given me for that. So that's how those two things came about.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, real quick, how could some other women join you in this effort to be a part of, you know, I don't know if they have them in all states yet, but how can they be a part of that Black Pearls Rises, you know? When I say pearls, I think of women, so I just said black girls. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Black Pearls Rise is still in the works. It's still in the building stage. So right now, I don't have any way for any other women to join me. But if there's any women out there who have a heart to serve, who have a heart to work in their community, I highly recommend the Elite Dolls of Faith. Like I said, we have dollhouses in like 28 different states. And if we don't have a dollhouse in their state, we will definitely show them how they can set up their own dollhouse and begin to do community service work within their own community.
Wow, that's awesome. That's good. That's great. Chris got a question for you, Marilyn.
Yes, Marilyn. My question, referencing that you have a book out, was you always a writer? Like, did you always write before you became published, or did that come? Like, was writing something that you enjoyed even long before publishing?
No. long answer short. No, I never saw myself as an author. I have several friends who are authors who, you know, have always encouraged me to say, oh, that everybody has at least one book in them. Everybody has also, no, that's not something that I want to do. That's not something that I feel called to do. And I was married for 24 years in an abusive relationship. And I finally got a divorce. Yeah. And after I got that divorce, dating was different because I was 16 when I met my ex-husband. So dating was very different. Mm-hmm. So I began to date. And one thing I always prided myself on was before I got a divorce, I had been with like two men my whole life, mm-hmm. right? And then after I got a divorce, it seemed like that doubled. And then it tripled, and I was like, Lord, what's going on? Because this is not me. You know what I'm saying? This is not me. And the last relationship I was in, like in 2020, I was like, I just sit down, and I just started writing. It's like the spirit just really was on me, and I just sit down and started writing. And by the time I stopped writing, I had written 14 pages. And then, like I said, this was in 2020. Yeah, and then I wouldn't write again until I felt the spirit moving. Then I would write a couple of paragraphs, a couple of sentences. And I was on my computer, and I was just looking through some of my files. And then I found it was like five pages, something that I had written back in like 2008, 2009. And it was so funny because it fit right into what I had already written. So I combined that with what I had written. And then I was like, okay, Lord, was this therapy for me or is this therapy for a lot of people? And so I had some people just encourage me to go ahead and make it a book and get it published. It was like 3 years in the making.
Okay. Okay. Well, I am Adam's Rib. What does it talk about?
It's about relationships, and starting off, it was about romantic relationships, but it really can be applied to any relationship because it's about knowing who you are before you dive into a relationship with someone. Because if you don't know who you are, right, you don't know what your desires are, you don't even know what you're looking for in a relationship, you're just being led by emotion. And that's how, as women, I think a lot of times we find ourselves in these unhealthy and destructive relationships because we dive in head first, our emotions become involved, and all those little red and yellow flags that go up, we tend to ignore them. And so this book is about understanding who you are. And I remember the guy I was seeing, I said to him, I love him. And he said, what is your definition of love? And I was like, oh my God, I never had anybody ask me what my definition of love was. And I could not give a definitive definition of what love meant to me. So if I don't even know what love is, I don't have a definition for it, how can I say that I love somebody?
Exactly. You know, and that brings me to a question that I have. You said that you was married for 24 years in an abusive relationship, and
right.
you got out of it about 3 years ago. So were you a minister when you was in that relationship? Because people got the idea that if you're a minister or whatever, you don't go through some personal dramas, you know, because you're always talking about uplifting and the spirit when you're preaching or evangelizing. So that's the reason why I wanted to know about that question.
Sure, absolutely. A lot of people think a lot of things about ministers, and most of them are incorrect. And a lot of times I don't even tell people that I am, because a lot of times their attitudes change and how they act around you change. But
exactly.
When I first got married, I was not a minister. When I met my ex-husband, I was 16 years old. We got married a little bit after I had graduated. I already had my first daughter. I was raised in a church. My mom always, she said, told us girls, because it was five of us girls, whether we stayed out all night on Saturday or not, we were getting up and going to church on Sunday morning. So I was raised in the church, but my calling was in 2009 when I got my calling. And it was at that time I can remember my husband, my ex was, you know, I sported black eyes, big lips a lot of times. But I can remember this one particular time, and I always told him, you hit me again, it's going to be your last time. You hit me again, it's going to be your last time. He never believed me. But this time I think it was the Holy Spirit just spoke to me when I said, put your hands on me again, it'll be the last time. And he never touched me again after that with his hands, but he still used his words. And, you know, mm-hmm. I guess like a lot of women, I thought, you know, I just need to stay for my girls. I had two daughters. I need to stay for my girls. Mm-hmm. I need to stay for my girls. And it was when my baby girl was graduating from college that I finally left. But lo and behold, come to find out, when I sit down and have conversations with them, they said, Mom, why didn't you leave sooner?
Right.
So me staying for them was not healthy for them. Nor was it healthy for me.
And I also want people to hear what you're saying, because people don't get it, you know, and some of these mothers don't get it. A lot of times these mothers feel like because they're not working a good paying job or not working at all and they got children, that they have to stay in relationships that are abusive. You never have to stay, because there are places there, House of Ruth, different names, call the human resources of your location, your county, your city, because there are places that will take women with children. You don't have to have anything. They will help you find jobs, get your bank account, find your apartment. So never stay in an abusive relationship because you have young children. Just go when it's safe to run. When he's at work or whatever, escape. Call the police. Get yourself out of there. You never have to be in an abusive relationship. And I need to stress that. You don't have to have any money. And that's for men as well. If you're abusive, you got children, and the woman's banging you upside your head, it applies to both. You know, there is hope. You know, don't have to stay.
Absolutely.
And on that,
absolutely.
Yeah, and on that note, Chris got a question for you.
Yeah, before I ask my question, I want to say Terry knows, because Terry wrote a whole book about the subject.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Exactly.
I got to get it. What's the title?
It's called Why Did I Stay So Long?
Oh, wow. All right. Absolutely. Yes, I definitely need to get it.
All right, Marilyn.
Because I had it printed, but I didn't publish it. So I'm getting ready to get it published because I had so many requests for it. But, yeah, you can call me and I can send you a copy. You know, but, yeah. Why did I stay so long?
Yeah, because people need to hear that. You're absolutely right. I thought I was doing the right thing by staying. I thought I was doing the right thing by, you know, my girls being raised in a home with their mother and their father, not realizing that sometimes it's better. You know, sometimes it's better if he's not there. And to your point about, you know, the money and stuff, because at one point I was working at Walmart just as a part-time, you know, back when they had layaway. And making like $7 an hour, but he wasn't bringing his money home. So, you know, I was doing it by myself anyway, but not even just realizing that I was doing it by myself.
Wow. My Lord. Okay, Chris, I want to let you get your question out because even if we run out of time, we can do a part two about I Am Adam's Ribs.
Yeah, Marilyn, my next question is, you've had such a great career and multiple careers, if I can say, that is there anything on your bucket list that you still want to do?
I do. I have friends and family that call me now, ironically, sometimes about relationships, and I'm thinking, I am not the expert on relationships. And also my bachelor's degree is in business. But I don't like it. But I do want to, and not that I know you don't really need a certificate to be a relationship coach, but I do want to get a certificate because I do want, if I, you know, I don't mind giving advice to family and friends, but if I'm going to do it as a living, I'm going to charge people to do it. I want to make sure that I do it right. So that's the one thing I want to do is to get my certificate to begin my relationship coach career.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Well, that is like you dip a little bit into I'm Adam's Rib. For people who don't know about God or into the Bible, you know, God got the dirt from the ground, and he breathed into that dirt that he formed into – he breathed life into that dirt, and that was Adam, the first man. Okay, and when he put Adam into a deep sleep, he took a rib out and he created Eve so he would have companionship. So if you don't know why she said Adam's rib, that's the, you know, fast version. And I'm going to let her tell you something about the book, I Am Adam's Rib.
Yeah, and you did awesome. Because, you know, you're right. When God created man, he created man from the dirt, right? He breathed life into him. But when he created, it says he created man from the dirt, but it said he built woman. So if you think about an architect who's building a building, before they actually start building that building, they have a purpose in mind, right? Because they don't build a restaurant the same way they build a hotel or a business office or a mall. They have an idea of the purpose of that thing before they begin to construct it, right? They design it and all of that. And I think as women, we are designed, for a purpose for the man that God is going to put, or for the man that we're going to be put into his life. And I think first marriage was created by God. And he said when he created woman, she wasn't just created to be a companion for Adam. She was created to be a helpmate. And when you think about the purposes of the rib is one of the strongest bones in the body. Women are strong. We are a lot stronger than we think we are. We are not the weaker creature, right? We are a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. We don't give ourselves credit sometimes for the strength that we have. And then when I was reading and studying and writing the book, I looked, you know, up the ribs, and the rib protects the thoracic cavity. It protects the thoracic cavity. And inside that thoracic cavity, you have the heart and the lungs. You have a lot of vital organs. So I thought, oh, my God, we as women are the protector of the protector. We protect our men, especially men of color. They get beat up by society so much. And then to come home and be beat up, that their home should be a safe haven. It should be a place of peace. We should be protecting our men because we are the protector of the protector. He protects the vital organs. He protects our family, right? He provides for our family. But when the world beats him up, when he's down, who does he have to protect him? We should be his protector.
Yeah, we encourage the spirit to continue. You know, we're the backbone, you know, but people need to understand that even though women, we are strong, we need to put that in our mindset we need to stop just hearing it, owning it. You know, we need to own it that we are stronger than we
Absolutely.
Think. Never let yourself go through some trauma and feel like there's no hope. All you got to do is look up because you're already beaten down. Look up. God is there. He's with you
Amen.
Every step of the way. But he'll present himself to you with the Holy Spirit when you ask for him. You know, like they always told me, a closed mouth don't get fed. If you need some help, you better call on him. You know, he's
That's
there.
Right. Absolutely. And as women, we're influencers. We're influencers. We influence our man. And it's all the way back from Eve all the way through the Bible. It talks about how women influence the men in their lives. Adam never would have eaten the apple if it wasn't for Eve's influence. So we have to actually watch how we influence our men, because truly, because how we talk to them, how we address
Girl,
them,
you,
if, you know,
you
we
said.
Influence them.
It's so funny that you bring that up, because I used to be the Bible school teacher at my other church, and I had kids from 3 to 10, and, you know, they let me be a Bible school teacher, you know, because I was a minister's kid. You know, they didn't ask me, do I have any training? But, you know, I love kids, though. So the deal
right.
was, you know, when I went back there, you know, I was started in Genesis about the beginning, and I was saying how, you know, God had gave men and women everything they could want to eat from except for two trees, the tree of life and
mm-hmm.
knowledge of good and evil. You know, but then the serpent came along, you know, and he was all slick talking to Eve. Now, Eve, you know, she never hurt anybody except for Adam. So, you know, when the serpent came along and said, well, you know, eat this fruit, you'll be just like God, you know. And so she ate that fruit, and then all of a sudden she realized she was naked. So she went to Adam and said, Adam, eat this fruit. And Adam said, no, we ain't supposed to. And she said, well, if you don't eat this fruit, you can't lay with me. So he ate the fruit, and then all of a sudden God was in the midst. He said, Adam, where art thou? You know, and he said, I'm here behind the bush. He said, how do you? He said, why? He said, because I'm naked. And God said, why you don't eat naked? But long story short, after the kids came out of my class, you know, these other older women, you know, said, well, you learn anything in school? And that Bible class, the kids said, yeah, we learned some. She said, what you learn? We learned that Adam was naked.
That's all they got out of that whole thing, huh?
Yeah, but I remained the Bible teacher for 12 years, even so, you know. But you know something, darling, Marlon, we are running out of time, and if you're up to it, we can do a part two to continue a little bit more in detail about I Am Adam's Rib and the different work that you do, because more people need to hear it, you know, and I can schedule you for in October, I guess the first Friday in November, if you're available.
Sure. I will definitely get back with you. I will check on that and get back with you. I would love to come back.
Okay, well, we're going to bring you back, darling. And I just want to thank everybody who tunes in and listen. And you know, Friday the 13th, y'all there driving, be careful.
I know.
Because, you know, you never know what's going on, because they try to, you know, interfere about situation here, but, you know, we pressure it through. Yeah, and I want to thank you, Marilyn. And please call me and let me know if you can do the first Friday in November. And first, thank you for being
Absolutely.
Here as usual. We
thank
love
you. I appreciate you having
You're welcome.
Anytime. Y'all all have a safe weekend. You take care now.
All right, you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.